I'm so excited we're here together today, and particularly excited because I have our pastors from Okada, locations in Okada, with us today. But I got excited. It's beautiful, beautiful Pastor Ehis and Pastor Maru are with us today. Come on, will you please give them a big, big hand? Thank you, Father. It's good to have you here with us today. We know great things. We've had so much great reports from our work over there this year. And we trust God for greater things when we get back just now. Amen. And I'm so excited to bring you the word today. I want to say that we must find it. I know maybe for some it might be strange for you, but it should be. You should get comfortable to kneel before God. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a very beautiful thing if you are alive to kneel before. I mean, it's the only one you kneel before. I think it's the only one we should kneel in worship for too. And you should, it may be strange for you, but for us in God Pasture, when we come, we kneel before the Lord in adoration and in worship. We just do that and take our confessions. We just kneel, and in a few minutes we worship God. It's beautiful. I mean, maybe in your prayer life, maybe in your houses, maybe by yourself, you never really knelt down. You consider the implication, and I advise you to do it someday. You never really knelt down. At any point, maybe you just pray standing, and we find the church has become so modern and so in tune with this world, and lost the majesty of God. They've lost the implication of royalty and how to really honor and worship God. And you stand before the King of Kings, and sometimes we even dare, we pray with our hands in our pockets, and you know, we just talk as if we are talking, you know, give him instructions, those things. You know, there's no sin there, but I'm saying this so that you learn. I think you find you get the place where you honor the Lord and you really will stand before him in awe and worship him. And then you get to the place where you honor the Lord so much and you just kneel and say, Father, I kneel before you. I mean, for God, that's a joke. That's nothing there. It's nothing, no big deal there. We kneel in many conditions. There are many conditions that make a man kneel and make a human being kneel. Many conditions. But, you know, many at times they come by force. And we kneel from our hearts just in this moment, just say, we want to kneel to God. I mean, when we begin to kneel to God in honor of God, He will preserve us and ensure that we continue to kneel only to Him. And that is something I want you to learn. And, you know, it's a culture. So you come in here, you say, this is what we do every Sunday. We kneel before the Lord. Every Sunday, we kneel before the Lord. And we got that, and we took a part of our pastor Nkechi Ene, in worship in the Carpenter's Church. You kneel for over 15 to 20 minutes. Everybody. 15 to 20 minutes, the whole church. We've been there. That's how we worship every Sunday. Every Sunday. I mean, we had to attend two services, and by the second service, when we were kneeling down, it was not funny. But we knew to worship the Lord. It's a tradition. And we took a part of that and said, we kneel before the Lord and in honor of the Lord and just worship him a few minutes and then we'll get into the word. It has been a great blessing to our hearts, and I trust it has been a great blessing to your heart. And you know, some just joined us, some people joined us, and you don't know that. And so you wonder, you know, why. But even if you just, it's not a big deal to kneel before the Lord some few minutes, you know, so you just kneel and worship the Lord, and we take our confessions and speak the word into our hearts. And so we go and we keep going glory to glory. Amen. All right, are we ready today? Yes, I want us to welcome those who've joined us online. We have brethren online, all around. Online, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, I'll be speaking to you about the challenges of a soldier living among civilians. For lack of better title, it was tough for me preparing this discourse. Not the discourse wasn't tough, the title was hard. I mean, I worked hard to get a title, and I was trying to avoid soldier. You know, we've been on this soldier thing for a long time. I know some people are getting tired of soldier. You know, but we talked about, are you in the Lost Army? I think we began to talk about, are you in the Lost Army? And we said, it's not something you just say, yes, sir, you know, jump into. But you look at it and you consider the implication of being in the Lost Army. And we talked about that. And many of us said, yes, I want to be in the Lost Army. It's from my heart. I want to do something. I want to step up for the Lord. And then we talked about all that. And we talked about, what do we talk about next after the Lost Army? What do we talk about again? What was the last conversation on this soldier thing? Soldier conversation. Yeah, check for me. A soldier in the Lost Army. That's our scholar there. I think that's the only scholar. We have one PhD, master scholar, his brain is full of books. Instead of you looking for trying to get it, and he's a soldier in an army. And we said you are very significant. Every believer is significant, right? Believer is significant. You know, sometimes you're just in the army. Imagine how the enemy gets to destroy an army by just simply saying you are not significant. All I do is supply the ammunition. One says all I do is serve the captain. One says all I do is stand behind this guy. Then say, well, I'm not significant. I'm not significant. I'm not significant. I'm not significant. Everybody walks away. I want to be the general. The general says, even the general gets to say, I'm not really significant. I'm not the one doing the main action. You know, the general walks away. The guy is doing the main action, says, I'm not significant. I'm supposed to be the general behind, you know, commanding the troops. And so at the end of the day, the guy who is the general says, I'm not significant because I'm not doing the main stuff. The guy who is doing the main stuff says, I'm not significant. I want to be the general. And we looked at a lot of scripture. I think one particular scripture that we looked at in this conversation is Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You know, the planter is significant, the waterer is significant. Amen? Amen. And so Paul will say, you know, if you want to be Paul, I'd rather be Paul. But if Paul planted and Apollos did not water, no increase is coming. So everybody is significant. Sometimes we make one guy look too much. You know, Paul is the pastor. You know, we make one someone look so much, and then we tend to lose significance in the army of the Lord. But that, I hope that encouraged you. And if you missed these meetings and you really love what we talked about, you can get them for free from the technical stand. Just get to the media stand, rather. Get to the media stand and give them to you for free. And we talked about that because I really wanted everybody to step up, to do something, to find that place and say, oh, I do this in church. I do this for the Lord. And so whatever you do for the Lord is significant. And it's significant. You must know that. Because the devil can make you feel this is nothing. And then you're not doing stuff. And you step back from the nothing. And then, alas, the army of the Lord suffers because you feel that you're not doing anything significant. The only significant thing for a believer to do is to hold a crusade with 1,000 people who say, yes, that's what I really want to do. But doing this, nah, I'd rather not do nothing. I'd rather do nothing. That's bad. That's bad. We're all going to contribute to our quota in the army of the Lord. Come on, say amen. Amen. But I want to talk to you about something today I feel very, very important, very, very powerful, that will be a great blessing to our lives. Yeah, that is the challenges of a soldier living among civilians. The reason for this teaching, there's something that happens in our lives. Please, you have to stay with me. I want to talk to you about this, then we'll begin to look at scriptures. There's something that happens in our lives unconsciously when we make a decision to live for God, to live according to God. It happens because we don't know it. But if we know it now, then we'll be able to escape the trap that we are soldiers. Again, that's the best word I could get. Soldiers. We now see in the land of the blind. And the issue is that when our eyes have been opened to the reality of who God is, of His majesty, of His love, of His mercy and His grace. And so somehow you will live differently. You live differently. Your actions will be different. And then there's something that will happen. There's something that happens, and if when believers know this truth, it will set you free and you will not be bound again into a very high degree. Something I want to say. It happens such that you see these truths and you see these things and you have this touch in your heart and it touches you somehow. You are different. It's like the best thought I could use is Pandora's box. Pandora's box. Pandora is a Greek mythology. She was given a jar, don't open it and all that, and she opens it and bam, all manner of evil comes out of it and then just damages the world. Zeus gave it to her. A long story, that's Greek mythology. But the best thing is like that. Once you have seen the Lord, once you have been touched by the Lord, you cannot be the same anymore. It changes you. You become a different person. But the issue now is that as you step up and say, I've been touched by the Lord, you are a different person. You go out now, and immediately you begin to say what the Lord has done. Or immediately you begin to live in a certain way. The world don't just leave you alone. That is the problem. That is something we've never looked at. The world don't leave you alone. Move to Romans chapter number 12. The world don't leave you alone. The world tries to push you out of that place. If you do not know that, you will just think that I just want to calm down. So I want to, you know, there's a blending in. You won't know. There's a pressure on your head. Can we begin from Romans chapter number 12 today from verse number 1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the thing here is we've looked at this verse. You would have heard this verse 1 million times. And the focus of the teaching, and which I have done in my life and ministry, is that I've focused on, but be ye transformed. Transformed. If you're just a baby Christian coming up, you will know the word transform is the word metamorphosis. Metamorpho, to transform, like butterfly, blah, blah, blah. Beautiful teaching. But we fail to consider the first thing there he said. That is the first thing he brings up to Rob. He says, and be not conformed to this world. So we can leave the transform. We've stayed there so long. We're not conformed to this world. Now, the word conformed, it means to be molded. I don't really care about saying the Greek word. If you want to check it up, you can check it up. It's one sustichina, something long story. The word conformed there means to be molded and fashioned according to an external pattern. To be molded and fashioned according to an external pattern. Like clay, this is okay. Clay being shaped by pressure. By clay, like clay being shaped by pressure. So he tells the believer, so that we need to pay attention to this. He tells the believer, be not conformed to this world. And the world there is like clay being shaped by pressure. The world around us, when we make up our minds to live for God, when we make up our minds to go the way of God, the world around us will not just stay looking at us. They will begin to exert a pressure. Oh God. When he says, be not conformed to this world, be yet transformed, it's not rhyme. Paul is not trying to rhyme. Paul is beyond rhyme. If today in church we try to rhyme to make sense so that people can like us. No! He was saying something real. He said, come on, be not conformed to this world, but be yet transformed. And so we just take, it's an option. I can choose to be conformed. No, to be conformed, you don't choose. There's a pressure on your life. There's a pressure on your life to walk away from God. There's a pressure on your life to dial down your prayer tone a little bit. There's a pressure on your life to not read the Bible too much. It's a pressure. It's a subtle pressure. There's a pressure on your life not to say Jesus. Why don't you say Jesus outside? Hey, keep your Jesus. Keep it calm. And be blending. Blending. It's a pressure. Oh God. I'm bringing something to you now. You because you have seen, because of Pandora's box, I'm using that word, sorry. Because of that, you've seen the Lord. You have touched the Lord. And you are not the same. You think they can just take it away from you? No. They have to apply a certain kind of pressure on your life. And so you don't know. If you don't know the pressure is there, you will think that you are trying to be a good Christian. You calm down. You tone down. It will be, don't go and talk like this too much. Why? Why? What will really happen? What really happens is that pressure that I want to show you. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Why do we really calm down? Why do you not? You can't really say out loud what you believe, what you have seen. You can't really. You just say, you know, Jesus, I better come out. Is it? No, I don't believe. We should let love and no do like this now. You know, within God, God shifts. You know, I was reading my Bible. There's one book I was reading. You try. We try the world because the world would apply a certain kind of pressure. A pressure to make us be conformed, to change. Again, why would Paul tell the church, be not conformed to this world? If it is something that doesn't really happen, if it is something that the world is not planning to do to you, if there's no pressure upon your life. There's a pressure upon our life that makes us give up what we have seen. That makes us push back. That's the word conform there. It's to be molded and fashioned according to an external pressure. So you can imagine a soldier. You can imagine someone who has seen the Lord. You can imagine somebody who has experienced the Lord. Somehow you make a decision. Somehow you say, I want to live for God. Somehow on your knees right there, you say, I want to live for God. I want to be all God wants me to be. I want to do all what God wants me to do. But when you get there to begin to do what God wants you to do, the world don't take it like, okay, you have an option, do this or do that. No, they begin to apply a pressure. The soldier, he lives, that's why I had to use my soldier stuff. He lives among civilians. And so he says, I wake up in the morning and I do my morning routine, press up, what's that one? Pull up, that's pull up, sit up, I do my sit-up. And then imagine among civilians, you know I don't do those things. Because they have to have, that one does exercise there. So that's why I was looking at his direction to help me. And then those are sit-up stuff and those are stuff. And then you, civilians are looking at you like, but what do they do? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. What do you do? Then he wears his khaki under the sun. And you're like, okay, pull on, wear singlet, nah, yeah, where they ought. Come on. Because he's living among civilians. They don't understand what is. Why will you wake up in the morning? We woke up, we are boiling rice. You are doing sit up and press up. I say, what are you saying that? He carries his weapons, clean, checking all this. I'm like, what did they do? And imagine now a soldier living among civilians, doing all that stuff. You know what will happen? Before long, you know what will happen? He'll keep his gun. Oh, Galabo. The defeat begins to come. When the enemy comes, there's nobody to fight. He can't fight. Why? When does he need to press off? You know, I want to blend in. You know, you have to try. You know, a soldier that lives among civilians, then this is a challenge. This challenge. He can no longer express himself. They're not going to just say, soldier. You know, that's the idea. The thing is, he just wants two of them to all these civilians. So there's a pressure. He wakes up. Even if they don't give it to him, see, if they don't tell him, he by himself, when he's doing, he's looking at everybody going around their duty, he begins to think, do I need to continue doing this? Must I do this? The pressure is this. The Bible says the way of life is narrow. Eh? It's a few there be that find it. So I'm telling you now that there are a few of you who have seen the Lord and many who have not seen the Lord. So what happens is that when you begin to live day by day in the midst of them, there's a pressure that will happen. It will just happen to be pressing in on you to drop your practices. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. By the time you do that for 3 months, 6 months, everything goes back. You're not wondering what's happening to my Christianity. That's the challenge of a soldier that lives among civilians. If he knows that, he will allow them to do their stuff and he will do his own thing. Now you know. There's a pressure, conscious or subconscious. Come on, are you here? Consciously, they can pressure. I'll show you some scriptures. Consciously, they pressure you. Subconsciously, they are just going about their thing, enjoying. Come on, I'm talking today. I'm preaching today. Enjoying their life, and you're looking at them. I'm doing press up. She has gone. I'll do this 25 push up, 12 press up, do all that. She has gone. She's even back with goodies. They're taking her out already this morning. She's eating. I'm doing all this stuff. What am I doing? Subconsciously, the pressure comes into your life. Subconsciously, the world. Not just one, the other one has gone. The other one is going. They begin to look at your life. Before long, you say, there's no need to press up. We have to try to, you know, the Lord, you begin to do all that, and then the damage comes in. When the enemy comes, you are looking for your weapon. You are looking for the skills that you have already mastered before. But because you did not keep in shape, trouble comes into your life. And then you wonder, but I've been a Christian for so long. It is the pressure that the world puts upon you. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
And that's what Paul's talking about. And we need to really understand that the world will want us to be conformed. The Lord won't leave you in your business. The world won't leave you in your business place doing the righteous thing. They won't leave you in your business place doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing, but they will find a way to pressure you to ensure you join them. I read something some time ago. I just saw something on somebody's timeline. Status rather. It was very beautiful. It's very funny, but beautiful. I was like, this is a good thought. He said, if you can't beat if you can't beat them, don't join them. Go and get more people to gather and go and beat them. It made some sense. It made some sense. No, he said, if you can't beat them, join them. He said, no, if you can't beat them, don't join nonsense. Go and get more people. You will beat them. Somehow, there's this, everybody is doing it. There's this, in my family, this is how we do it. I mean, family pressure comes in. You are at home, you can't pray. How come you are not at home with your brothers and sisters who do not know the Lord or who have not seen the Lord as you have seen him? And suddenly, you that can pray, suddenly will give no time to prayer. Why? It's a kind of a pressure. Come on. You won't carry your Bible to read. Why? If you don't bring out your Bible, say, bro, I want to just spend two time. Paul had to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He had to say it. Imagine Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We just tend to move. We move because there's a pressure. They won't curse you in many cases, but they just look. Their look is, Pastor, don't carry Bible. We they go out. We are going out. Oh, you come and be, you want to read Bible. if I not read Bible, I do not look somehow. You know, you don't read Bible or like this season or this time. You have to just leave it. Then you leave it, and you are now bothered about the things that we have seen because of the subtle pressure that comes into our lives. In our business place, the same thing happens. The Christian life, the life of God in us, it doesn't shine forth. We can't grow because of the pressure, the conformity of the world. The world wants us to conform and they want to pull us down. I want to show you in, let's look at Numbers chapter number 14. Let's look at Numbers chapter number 14. Numbers chapter number 14, verse number 1. We're going to read a long passage. So you stay with me. You stay with me. We're going to read a long passage. So just stay with me. Numbers chapter number 14, verse number 1 to verse number 10. And all the congregation. Now, this is chapter number 14. In chapter number 13, we read where the 12 spies went out. The 12 spies went out to spy the land. And then they came back. And then they brought this evil report about the land. But Joshua and Caleb, we know them, they stood and said, no, this land, this is a good land. This is a good land. We should go in and take the land. And so from verse number 14, there's this discourse that I want us to see to verse number 10. So let's start from verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Next verse. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? These are people that were suffering just now. And they said unto one another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all this assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They just fell down. They don't know what to do. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, and this is not Moses speaking prophetically now. You know Moses is a strong man, but this is Moses here kneeling down. And then we get Joshua and Caleb speaking up. And they're saying, the land which we passed through, imagine all the congregation. It is hard. Imagine all the congregation of Israel. Imagine Moses, anointed divider of the Red Sea. He didn't have anything to say. This guy is weak. There's so much pressure on him as the leader. And so he bows down. He's just there. And this guy says, Joshua says, and they spake unto all the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Next verse. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defenses is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation, this is not 5 people, this is not 10 people, no, bade stone them with stones. Imagine 2 people. This is like the soldiers, in the midst of civilians. Imagine the pressure. The pressure is to keep quiet. Come on. Keep quiet. Let it just pass. Because the next thing, when you speak up, they bade to stone them. Let me tell you, they would have stoned them. If you read the next sentence there, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. That is, you know, when you are watching all these very interesting films and light shine from up. You know what I'm talking about now. If you watch Thor, that Thor ring, that wah. That is how the thing came up. If not, they would have stoned them. Imagine you live in the land where only two of you have this knowledge of God. This, I have seen the Lord. I have encountered the Lord. The Lord is good. And somebody said, what if they talk? You know, they see what happened. You know, even you are talking about Christians now who have not seen the Lord. They Joshua and Caleb, they were in the same position with the rest of them. They were not different. They had wives and children too. So this is not something new. These people were warriors, but they didn't listen to them. They were in the same conditions, but they say, the Lord is good. To even say the Lord is good, he will bring us into the land, it is not warrant stoning. Stoning. The Lord had to save them. He had to come there right there now. I mean, that's I have to come now. No time to waste. They will kill those boys. But they stood their ground. They were like soldiers living among civilians. They were like people whose eyes have been opened, living with the blind people. And once your eyes have been opened, you will never remain the same. Brothers and sisters, do not close your eyes. Don't close your eyes to conform to this world. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your mouth so that you can blend with this world. Don't. There's a pressure that will want to make you do that, but don't. Because your eyes have been opened. You have seen the Lord. You made up your mind to step up and to live for Him. You said, Lord, you know, there are many times in our lives, many services, many meetings you've attended, and many things, maybe a word you've heard, and then at that point you just say, Lord, your Christian life sounded gang that day. But alas, when the pressure begins, what happens? There's no money. There's no food. Now, so everybody is doing. There's no option. The thing is, the mountain before me is too much. I can't climb it. Leave God for one side. And when they put the pressure on you to join them, you just join them. The pressure always comes. It came for these fellows. I mean, if you thought about Caleb and Joshua, 2 to 12, 2 to 10, sorry, you will say it's sizable. It's not 2 to 10. No. This is two of them against the whole congregation. If only I is left to walk with the Lord, I would walk with the Lord. I mean, this is the context of I have decided to follow Jesus. This is the real context of it. It's not in I have plenty money. No, the real context of it is that I've made a decision to follow the Lord, and I will follow the Lord no matter what. This is the real context. This is the time when the pressure is on you for your finances, for your life, to do the right thing, and then there's a subtle pressure there to conform and to bend. Everybody's like that. And then, alas, come on. Everybody cheats in their business. But if you know that this. You say, I hate a false weight. They will carry a measurement, something to measure, and they will hit the bottom of it up, so it will reduce the volume of the cup. And everybody does it. My brothers, my sister, get the right cup. Don't hit your cup. Make the profit as it should be, and move your way. Come on. I'm a workman. I have to do this. I build for more. You don't need to do that. The Lord will prosper you. Then the question is, how? Look at my brother. Look at the other one. Look at the other one. You see, you start to point to people who are blind. And in doing that, you close your eyes to what the Lord wants to do. The Lord has shown you. And then you regress back like a soldier living among civilians. And gradually you become a civilian. It doesn't always begin like, it doesn't always turn around once. So if I don't take off the khaki, the shirt, it's too hot. It stops the morning exercise. It's too stressful. Then he says, the trouser is enough. I can still be identified. He wears a white shirt. Then I say, let's cut it. Cut it to short knicker. He's still showing the sign I'm a soldier. The boots have gone since. Somebody says it's a slow fade. But then you see him after a year or two. If you see soldier, you see civilian, no difference. After a year or two, you see Christian, you see unbeliever, no difference. You see Christian on fire. You see Christian not on fire, no difference. You see Christian who has made up his mind to live for God. You see a Christian who's now just doing Christianity, no difference. It's because of a subtle pressure. It happens small by small. It happens because your eyes have been opened to see. You begin to have, in short, let me tell you, you begin to have challenges, troubles. Huh? There's another story. I'll give you enough to help you today. In John chapter number 9, we have another story there to help us. In John chapter number 9. I'll give you another one. John chapter number 9, verse number. Let's start from verse number 13. Now, this is the story of. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
I just see you're here, so I'm not asking so much today. I'm seeing you connecting with this. This is a very powerful message. It will help you live for God. It will help you understand. Once you know it, it can't happen to you again. I know. They won't want to pressure me. They want you to stop. They won't say you are going to stop. We'll get you. No, but somehow you tire. Either you tire, but you say, oh man, this thing is still stop. But once you understand this, I mean, it's a powerful revelation for your Christian work. You see the pressures coming and you take your place. You take your stand as a soldier. I'm not going to back down. Right? So Jesus heals a man. Now, this is the perfect example. The man was blind. He heals the man. Now, he can see. This is the man. This is the story of the man. And so we jump into it because it's a long verse. I don't want to read all of them. So in verse number 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Let's go on. Next verse. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Jesus made the clay, you know the stories, and then go and wash. So he had to go and wash. Go and wash. So that was the anger there. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Next verse. Therefore said one of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such a miracle? And there was a division among them. Next verse. Then say unto the blind man, what said thou of him, that he had opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Next verse. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They had to call his parents. And this is a man. And then they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then has he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. I mean, do you see this as somebody's parents? These people gave birth to a son. This son was blind. This is our son. They've already acknowledged that. You and I, we agree on that. But when it came to standing and saying, this man, I mean, somebody did a miracle, you see, they won't say anything. You see the pressure there? Next verse. Next verse. You see there? These words spake his parents. Why? Why? Because they feared the Jews. They were confirming them without gun and bullets. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? They were confirming with they confirmed them. They were, that's the pressure I'm talking about. They confirmed them by just looking and saying, out of the synagogue. You know, this company of good people, we eat bread together, you know, we can save you, do all that. You want to do? Because that's it. Because they fear the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put what? Is it that now? The great community of Jewish people. If you are put out of the synagogue, has your life not finished? Mama Rita will not come to your house again. Auntie Juliana will not borrow you money again. Uncle Peter that used to come and help you will not help you again. I rather deny and just say, yeah, and say, Jesus, I don't know him. It's easier for me that way. Without even shouting. Are you in church today? They just push everything away. Say, we'll put you out of the synagogue. So they said, next verse. Therefore his parents, he's of age, ask him. They wanted their son, to say it with his own mouth, but so that they don't put us out of the synagogue. We lose some friendships. My parents will look at me somehow. They will not say church. Your life. I mean, we started this ministry on campus. I've told you. I mean, we have paid children. I mean, this thing, you see, the devil is real, and conformity is real. Powerful thing. You have children going to club. I mean, you have a father with children. I'm not telling you stories. People that know this, you know. We have a section of a member of that family in our ministry, doing well, participating, giving, doing all that. We have these same siblings, club, school stuff, jumping here and there. The pressure is not put on them. There's no pressure on them. The pressure is you. You are fasting again. You are looking lean. You are fasting. You are tithed. Just like you tithe. You give the church your money. The money we work hard to give to you. People use their money to do club. I mean, you call. I'm not telling you stories. It's a mistake. There's no point to mention names. I mean, you give a siblings money, just say January 1st. So you can have January 1st. By 20th, clubber, all manner has called back home. Money has finished. Money has been want to end. If you don't send me money, what will end? The Christian good girl. No, I still have money. No problem. Hello, do you have money? Yes, I still have money. I still have money. No problem. See, a month and a half, 2 months. Do you still have money? I still have money. Who is the bad child inside these people? I mean, it's almost easy for you to tell, Abby. It's the one that still has money. I'm not joking. The real reason why she's bad, it's not bad by you spend money anyhow, you are wasteful. It's just because in the mind, church is involved. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, when you see the attack, I'm not pushing it. You know when they say Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes. I said, where your papa? Who will talk to her? I said, this guy is... No, it's nothing. It's the pressure of the world. They just hate church. They are Christians, so they attend a notable church. If you just say the name now, you say, they attend a notable church. But once they hear, the problem is that she's too church. I mean, you are slim, you are that. They are Christians. They know. Not say you say no, let me. No, they know. They know everything. They don't mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? If not love of God, and somebody says, you call somebody, and there's a decision in the person's heart to stay true to God, you just join. It's easier. It's easier to just, that's the pressure. It's subconscious pressure that is put there. And so once your church is inside, even Christians will begin to apply pressure on you that this thing is too, when you read Bible pass, the thing is guilt in their hearts. And the fact that they are blind. And the man put open, they threw that man out of the synagogue. Why did they throw him out of the synagogue? The real thing, the reason they threw him out of the synagogue is now his eyes have been opened. I have seen the Lord. He has seen Jesus. He has been touched by the Lord. And any man who has been touched by the Lord will not be accepted. No matter how good you are, don't try. I mean, you can return the money back and say, Daddy, the money is enough for... The sisters are angry. Family members, siblings are angry. They are angry because you are spoiling our show. I'm not joking. We are inside. Let me, pastor. They are angry. See, why are you doing this? Okay, if your money has not finished, give me your money. I don't understand. You are calling daddy for the money. Money, this thing can carry us. You are spoiling everything for us. Put out of the family. For no good reason. The only reason is, my eyes have been opened. I have seen the Lord. The Lord has touched my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That is the challenges you will face in your life as a soldier in the midst of civilians. And when I say civilians, don't mistake me. Let me quickly add soldiers that are not woken up to their solidarity. I mean, you meet Christians who are Christians and you are amazed. When you say, let's just take this stand and do this. I mean, these people were all Israelites there. All of them went to the promised land. They saw the promise. They saw the fruits. Only two came back with a positive something. And those, the ten would have picked up stones to stone that too. This man's parents said, he's of age. Ask him. They went to protect themselves. How many Christians? This is their child who was born blind. Now the boy can see. This man can see. I bet that you say, forget everything. This is my son. He said it's one Jesus that did it. I mean, Jesus. They don't even want to mention the word. Parents, so how much more siblings? Come on. How much more friends? They know the Lord too. That's even the painful part. But they will never open up their hearts and see and say that you are right. The only reason is now in your life. The basic challenge you face, many of you, the true challenge you face is that your eyes have been opened. Your eyes have been opened and you can't remain the same. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
It's as if I'm preaching to myself now.
Yes,
are you still here?
Yes, sir.
The amount of two or three witnesses, every truth is established. Let's go. Okay, I want to look at 32 to 34. You see them. Cast them out. 32. Since the world began, this is the man speaking now. He said, Was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Next verse. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and thou dost teach us, and come on, and so when you are cast out, just know why. Your eyes have been opened and you can see. In John chapter number 6, let me do this. You get my point already. But the Bible says, in matter of two or three witnesses, every truth is established. So I like to give you scriptures. I love to give scriptures. in John chapter number 6, it's a long passage again, but I don't have all that time to read it. So let's just jump into it. This is where Jesus says, my blood is you drink, and my flesh is food to eat. I mean, trouble started. Then Jesus answered unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, they have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, the thing is strong, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Next verse. This thing said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Next verse. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Huh? No, verse. The murmur, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We'll see it in another verse. So you see, many, go to the previous verse. Okay, that is it. Sorry, that's it. No. 60. Many, therefore, of his who? Sometimes when you read this passage, you read it wrongly. You read it wrongly because you think it's part of the crowd. Did he say many of the crowd who listen to him? As a rabbi, you now have disciples. It's like you sign up to be a disciple. So these are people who have agreed. They've settled down to sit under his teachings and receive him. Those are disciples. Different from the apostles. So you get that context separate. But when he says these are the disciples, disciples are people who follow him. They participate with him. They bear his name. They were not like that man just now. They say, okay, but they didn't mind. They were the disciples. But as he took them in, as he opened their eyes further, they say, we can't go further. Many of his disciples stepped back. In verse number 66, you see that. So now move to 66. Read together. Verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Next verse. Then said Jesus unto the 12. You see that, the 12. Will ye also go away? 68. Then Simon Peter answered and said, our eyes have been opened. Our eyes have been opened. We have made a commitment. We have seen things. We have touched these things. Lord, to whom shall we go? Our eyes have been opened. It is you that have the words of eternal life. Jesus asked because the pressure was there. Imagine you have a church, 2,000 people, and you say Jesus died and rose again. He shed his blood, and the committee of elders gather themselves and say, you don't use blood in your message. Blood is disgusting to us. When my wife had blood, she complained to me at home that she wanted to vomit. So you have to tune your message down. Avoid the use of the word blood. I'm telling you real. Avoid the use of the word blood. Blood yourself, your messages are becoming too bloody. I mean, Christianity, I'm telling you real. Christianity, you can talk about Christ and all those things. Just tune it down a little. Where we are the board, you have an option. We sack you, get another pastor that will preach what we like, or we make your work here living hell. You are pastoring this church, we are going on that direction. You can't pastor the church without the board of elders. Why? He's just preaching blood. And then he said, no, I must preach. And then they make the work so difficult. Out of your 2,000 members, 1,400 leave. What will you now do? What do you think will happen to the 400 inside there? The remaining 600. What do you think will happen? Say, no, you always say they will cast out. No, they are the ones that walked out. You know why they walked out? They walked out so that you two can follow them. They did the walkout so that the remaining 600 who think they will stay, when they see that the thing has dwindled down, they themselves too will join and go. There was a pressure on the disciples, on the 12 to go. Are you still in church? The pressure is that we will turn our backs and walk away. Those ones now, you know, you find disciples are now few. You when people were traveling, now get the crowd. Now you are traveling. Jesus is not there. Jesus turned back. He's preaching to... Before, Jesus is preaching to 2,000 people. Now, Jesus is preaching to... And you are among the leaders in that church. What would you do? So I have to go and move. I have to change church. Because it's clear that God has moved. God has moved. That is still pressure. To live the truth. The pressure will come in several ways. When you hear the truth of God's word coming to you, and the truth is being preached, many people will walk away. Because truth is not really sweet. It gets to the core of you, draws you deeper into the Lord, increases your commitment. This thing you are doing, you are designed to do more. When you talk to somebody and say, I'm missing midweek service, I want to pray, give, do that. It'll be a good time to tell you a story. It's a story about my wife. She doesn't know the story. I probably said so. I should not look up and say, what one have I entered again? This one is a good one. It's a good one. When she came to church, when we invited her to church, when we met some years ago, the person who invited her said, man, this is a great church. Great church. And said, we come in here. You know, we are all friends together looking for a place to go, but I found somebody. And in they use words that you don't even know. Say, I found my sower. The sower that sowed the seeds, I found them. I said, me too, I've been looking for sower in my life. Follow and come church. When I come church on Sunday, say, boy, this is real service, man, I love this church. Wednesday I've reached. What about Wednesday service? Say, no, we don't go to Wednesday service. See, I don't understand. This church, Wednesday service. Well, me, I want to go. How we will do house key? I must go. This is not wait for me come for class to say I must go to Wednesday service. Okay. That is how they came to Wednesday service. The members that invited somebody, they don't come. Then the pressure was now we don't go, don't bother. I'm not that's the pressure. No, we don't go. We've never gone to Wednesday service. We don't go to Wednesday service. And they say, why would we not go? If Sunday service is like this, Wednesday service will be tough now. Why would we not go? No. Guy, house key. That's the discussion. There's no discussion whether we go or not. Discussion is house key. Okay. They came to church. They came to church. They won't come. I think what that person says, if you can't beat them, don't join nonsense. Gather people together, gather Holy Spirit and go and beat them. Maybe that's what you did. I don't know what she did. I don't know. But she came to church. And that's how they said come. That's how they're getting better. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There's always going to be pressure. These are Christians, so the Christian that show our road, don't let them wanting a man of God. There's this man of God I love so much. He used to say this a lot. Let me tell you this. Powerful. It's simple. Don't worry. It's not a Greek word. He said there is room for overtaking in the realms of the spirit. When somebody brought you, you cannot overtake. Somebody brought you, you can keep going forward. Sometimes people get stuck in one place and they will not go forward. Your attempt to go forward will not become an enemy of them. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Your attempt to pray more. Your attempt to fast. Your attempt to say, this year, plug in will come in. Will you plug in? They that brought you, that told you about Christianity. They say fasting. No, leave it. They begin to push it back. But there's room for overtaking. Men of God, don't look at anybody's eyes. Just keep going forward. Don't allow any external pressure get to you. There's room for overtaking. Not be who every person come, they stay. You got what I'm saying now? People left, they walk away. So there's room for overtaking. You continue to grow in the Lord. When other people decide to stay back, and say, this is where our commitment to God will reach. But you say, my commitment to God will continue to go forward and continue to increase. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Disciples face the same pressure. They face pressure to go, to stop. You say, this will get revelation from Jesus. He's a great Bible teacher. To a certain point. After a certain point, we won't go further. But Peter says, we'll stay here, we'll continue and we'll go further. It is important that you understand the pressures that come from the world. When you understand this pressure, you won't allow it to get to you. You will even know when it's coming. This thing is pressure. This thing is pressure. This thing is pressure. And then you stay back and you say, I will stay my stand and I will do what I need to do. I'm who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I will do it. It might cost me something. It might cost you to be cast out of the synagogue. Some friends, you will lose some friends. It's okay to lose some friends. A dear friend, After some time, she parted ways entirely with the person who brought her to this church. Parted ways entirely. Saying, no, it doesn't point. This girl is not going somewhere. It's not going forward in Christ. You know, you want to go forward in Christ, it's not going forward. Parted ways entirely. You might lose some friends. I mean, they're friends, very good friends, I mean, before coming to church. But the idea was, oh, you can continue relationship. I don't care. Me, I'm doing my mission. I'm going. We are related. We are going together. I will be in a relationship. I'm going forward. You can continue. But by herself, she said, there's no point. This friendship don't work. I lose this friendship and go forward in Christ. Because this friendship is negative, toxic. Can you imagine that? And there was pressure, we know. Pressure to then do some things, get out of this place, but no, I will stick this ground. And you need to know. Once you know it's there, you'll be able to act. You no longer be afraid. When they cast you out of the synagogue, you know why. It is actually because you are the one that is seen. Come on. It is the one that is seen that they cast out. When your siblings find you somehow, and you got, it's because you are the one that mentioned Jesus. Just know, don't worry. I'm telling you, you are mentioning Jesus. When your association and you are doing something and they are doing this matter, we don't want to tell him. The way you do something. Is the real reason. It's not because they don't want to. You are the one that mentioned Jesus. They'll cast you out. When you are cast out, don't be surprised. Are you here? Don't be surprised. It's okay. I'll give you one more scripture, or we should leave it at that. You get my message? I have a divine message from God to you today, and I've given you the message, right? We take one more scripture. Hallelujah. But you should know. In a month or two or three weeks, every truth is established. You have enough scripture. I've given you enough thoughts. Think about it. The man was cast out of the synagogue. Caleb and Joshua to be stoned. Why? Why? As in, why? There's nothing wrong here. There's just a thought I'll share with you before I go. A thought. You think about it. You know, it's a scripture. Well, I'm just giving the scripture. It's a thought. Let me give you the thought. It's concerning Cain and Abel. Very popular, so I want to use that also. If not, I would have just walked away. Let me share this. Cain and Abel. You know that Cain killed Abel. And the truth is that we never really ask ourselves why. The Bible gives us why. It's in your scripture. But the thing is, if you stop, we don't need to open and think too much. It's easy. Why? Did he do him anything wrong? Was there any offense from Cain? Did he take his meat? I mean, nothing. No do anything. There's no quarrel between me and you. The only quarrel is that his eyes were open. He said the Lord. That's it. That's not kidding. Nothing more. Nothing. He didn't do him anything. You know, you can quarrel with somebody, and you will know why they are angry with you, or why they exclude you from the group. You don't have any quarrel with anybody. In fact, you are even the best person in the group that share something among the group, just to everybody. They come and meet you at night, and ask you questions and do all that. But when it's time, they exclude you from the group. They are treated someone. You're wondering, what have I done? What did I do to you? Nothing. Nothing. The real reason was his relationship with God. Once this man opened his eyes and he said, I have seen the Lord. The Lord has touched me. And my eyes are open to see the Lord. His relationship just scattered. No good reason. Nothing happened. He didn't take their money. Are you here? I'll give you another one. I have thoughts to go. When I looked at it, I said, you are looking at me. You've gotten the points. I'm happy about that. I'll give you another one. I'll give you Judas Iscariot. Huh? What do you think happened? The money is not important. You people think wrongly. If scriptural, if the Holy Spirit don't open your eyes, you won't see truth. Yes, let me tell you this truth. You've not thought about it. They gave him money. You don't get. I know you are saying it's devil, Abi. No, it's money. You're not getting it. Pastor Maro. Yes, okay. You are taller than me. This way I can be taller than you. Betray Jesus. If you think it's only the work of the devil, you'll be wrong. There was pressure. The pressure was the money. If you had told him, he wouldn't have done it. He didn't even agree. They prized it. Everybody might not get it. I've given you two to think about. There was a pressure there. You know, you say Satan did it. No. No. Many times it's money, things, friends, a gold wristwatch, something given to you to add that pressure. So they have told him, betray, no. Say, okay, guy, we'll give you 5 pieces of silver. You say, what was that? You say, 33. He said, all right. If it was just devil, all right would have come even with 1 piece of silver or with no piece of silver. Some people have got it. Are you getting that now? The money was the pressure. So sometimes we look at it that the things he went in that direction because it was those devil evil things in his heart. No, it was also pressure, financial pressure that made it happen. So it's not just normal. It's not the devil. So devil had to employ a means to apply the pressure for it to happen. He took the money home. He would plan to spend it. When they started doing the thing that he felt, I thought it was just more, but he said, take the money back. Do you hear what I'm saying now? That was his pressure. That was his boat. So people will move because of pressure. That pressure will be dead. Money cast aside. They had money to give to him, but they won't give it to him unless he does this. You know what I'm talking about now? So let us be mindful of the pressures that come into our lives. Because we have seen the Lord. Because we know the Lord. We are pressured to give him up. For what? 30 pieces of silver. Pressure to give him up. For what? Friendship. They just cast you out. Why are you cast out? Not because of anything. Because you have seen the Lord. All your troubles, half of your troubles coming from you have seen the Lord. And you have made up your mind to live for God. And now that you know, I will tell you. You say, this is the conclusion thing. Stand your ground. The word of the Lord is true. His word will be confirmed in your life. Don't allow the pressures work. You have seen the Lord, you have touched the Lord. Don't allow those pressures get to you. Read your Bible, pray, spend time with the Lord. They can laugh at you, mock you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Shame you. You're not still pastor too. Don't allow those pressures get to you. Once you stay there, you see, like I told you, how the light came from above, the midst of the congregation. The Lord will come through for you. He will rescue you. You will see victory. That thing will happen, but you will see victory. Alas, men's hearts will be turned again towards the Lord. If you will stand your ground, you will win the fight. It is true. We have seen it all through scriptures. It will not be different in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads now. Thank you. Bow your heads today. Father, I made a commitment to you. I know now that there is pressure. There is a conformity. There is something that the world wants to take away from me because I have seen you. Because I have seen you, there is a pressure. A simple pressure. There is a simple pressure. And you say, Lord, I know now. This thing will not work anymore. They can cast me out of the synagogue. They can shame me. They can laugh at me. They can mock me. They can say you will die poor. They can say this is your holy holy. Carry you go anywhere. They can say anything. But I will not allow these pressures get to me. I stand my ground as a soldier in the midst of civilians. Satule Preketa. Jita Mali Okoba. I will not join them. Yeah, no joining them here. No. I will stand my ground and live for God. I will live for God. I will stand my ground. I will live for you. I will declare your name. I will declare your name. I will declare the name of the Lord. I have seen Jesus. Come on. I'm not ashamed to say Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I know Jesus. I'm not ashamed. No, if you don't say Jesus in public, people will laugh at you. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. My life is in Christ Jesus. He is my source of. He is the source of my strength. He is the source of my life. When you say Jesus, public, the civilians will laugh and they will cast you out. But Jesus will find you. Jesus will find you. And he will become your friend. Today, I want you to say,
am ready. I make up my mind. Whether brother, sister, auntie, friend, colleague, fellow Christians, whether they deny you, they turn their backs on you, I have seen the Lord. I know the Lord. I will live for the Lord. Come on. This is your moment. This is the time you say, I will stand. This is the time you stand. Through my life, many will come to see Jesus. Through my life, many will come to know the Lord. Through my life, many will come to see Jesus. I'm not going to deny him. I'm not going to betray him. No. Not for 30 pieces of silver. No. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Everywhere I go, the light of God will shine through my life. Come on. In my school, in my home, in my office. Come on. My business place. Jesus will shine through. Jesus will shine through. Everywhere I go, the light of God will shine in my life. Oh, Shantalabakalaba, Shantalabakasa. Strong Christians, real Christians. Christians who have seen the Lord. Believers who have touched him. Say, today I make up my mind. Today, everywhere, come on, everywhere. Office or also, if my brothers and sisters, they want to shame me. They want to shame me for the knowing the Lord. I will read my Bible. I will still pray. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I'm not ashamed of my Lord. I will do what he says for me to do. Come on. This is that meeting where you say, I'm not ashamed. They are all taking some peace out of the place. You say, no, I will not do that. They are all cheating the boss. You say, no, I will not do that. No, I will not. And they want to cast you out. And they cast you out. You know why they cast you out. I know the Lord. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Before your friends, come on. Before your boyfriend, you're not ashamed of Jesus. Before your girlfriend, no, Jesus is Lord. Before your friends, before your colleagues, even amongst your family members, how many times are you made to compromise Jesus because of your family members? From now on, I know the pressure, and I will say Jesus everywhere I go, anywhere you see me talk about Jesus, he's the owner of my soul. Anywhere you see me, you can talk about Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. Anywhere you see me, I'm talking about Jesus because he's the lover of my soul. He's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Jesus. I know the pressure. I see the pressure. I'm not conformed to this world. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the impact of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The army arises, and we do not conform to the darkness. We who do see are cast out by the blind. We will not close our eyes and pretend to be blind. We will not close our eyes and pretend to be blind. We have seen the Lord. Come on. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I beheld his glory. I beheld his beauty. I beheld his holiness. I have seen his goodness in my life. I have seen his goodness. I have seen his love in my life. I will never turn my back. I will never deny him. I will never say he's of age. Ask him. No. I will not be ashamed. There's pressure in darkness. Darkness will always pressure. But now I know the pressure is there and I reject it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these ones here and those who join us online. I thank you for the truth of your word. The grace of your word rest in their hearts in the name of Jesus. I thank you for true soldiers arise, living for you. Even resisting the pressure of and the conformity in this world in the name of Jesus. Resisting the force. No matter what, they will stand for you. Everywhere these ones go, your light will shine. Everywhere you go, they will mention Jesus. And you'll be lifted high up in the name of Jesus. Father, like you found that man cast out of the synagogue and you brought him in and you became his friend. Lord, you will find them too. You will strengthen them too. You will give them a grace and a glory. And many will turn back later and say, "Whoa, Jesus is in this life." Now for sure we know, in the name of Jesus, Lord, they will stand true for you. All of them will stand true for you. As true soldiers arise for your glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this, the pressure of this world will not mold them, will not force them, will not bend them. They will stand true for you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 The people who know you, they arise now. And they live for you everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And they see your glory in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. The world has lost concerning these ones. The world has lost concerning these ones. In the name of Jesus. The world has lost concerning them. In the mighty name of Jesus. The cross of Christ. By the cross of Christ, you are crucified to the world. And the world is crucified to you. Thank you, Father. Come on, say amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, rejoice in the Lord.